It's Aline.
And TJ.
And we're back for another episode of
TJ and Celine Nerd Out Two Nerdy Things.
So we are here this week to talk about, actually I would like to say something serious, because I don't think we touched on anything serious last week except for the fact of pretending that we broke up.
Yep. That we got into a big fight.
Which we, I think we did very well with that. That was very funny. I just want to say, want to start something off with, everywhere you look, what's the Wait. Song?
Oh, Full House.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Everywhere you look, everywhere you go,
somebody who loves you.
Oh my god, I've seen the show so many times
and
I'm like,
Full House theme song.
There's a heart, a hand to hold on to, everywhere you look.
Okay.
Sorry.
Of course I can.
anyway, sorry.
Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, there's a heart,
a hand to hold on to.
Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, there's a place, somebody who needs you.
Or needs you, yeah.
When you're lost out there
and you're all alone, life is waiting to carry you home.
Everywhere you look, everywhere you look,
there's a place, heart. I used to know the whole song.
I know.
And I've seen the show so many times.
We've lost another good one. Just Bob Saget has passed away, and I did want to say an homage to him, because I feel like he was everyone's dad.
He was America's dad.
He was. And, yeah, it was very sad. I was very sad when I heard the news. And he was
First Betty White, and then America's Grandma.
True Sweetheart, which is my next song. You start the Golden Girls theme song.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend. I've been watching that show, so. In honor of Betty White, because it made me sad, so.
Also, Betty White, I don't think we said anything about her either.
I don't think so.
We are a pop culture podcast.
Yes.
So we would like to pay homage to some pop culture greats, and yeah, that's going to make me cry, actually, because Betty White. Yeah.
You know, she's older than sliced bread.
Yeah, I literally saw that.
Isn't that weird?
Of course she is.
Yeah.
If there's anyone that deserves to be older than sliced bread, she is the best thing, like, beyond sliced bread. Before 100%. Sliced bread.
So I think one can only hope to live that long and live healthy, you know? I think it'd also be hard to live that long because, like, pretty much everyone you knew is probably gone.
Yeah.
You know? Which would be hard. But she got to live through some of the best decades, though.
She did.
You know, I mean, the 60s and the swinging 70s and the 80s. And, well, you know, we all know how decades work. But
yeah.
But to be relevant in every one of them up until the day she passed, like I think that's what anyone would hope for. You know, I think I saw something where it said, to live 99 years and still have people think it's not enough time. Like,
oh, that's gonna make me cry.
I was like, that's so true though. Like it, yeah.
Yeah, she was great. She probably has one of the best comedic timings in Hollywood.
Oh my God. Rosen Island, St. Olaf.
From St. Olaf, Minnesota.
Just dumber than a box of rocks.
But funnier.
Can I ask a dumb question? Better than anyone I know.
I just love that she's going to be with all her Golden Girls now.
Yep.
You
It's funny. Not funny, but it was weird. I was watching the Golden Girls, and they were talking, the Golden Gals were talking about how when they get older, they're going to all go into a retirement home together. And Betty White's character, Rose, says, well, what happens when we're the last one? And I was like, and she was the last one. But now she's having cheesecake up in heaven with her Golden Gals. Yeah. So, Betty White, we love you. Bob Saget, we're going to miss you.
And thanks for giving us fodder for our podcasts, even though I don't think we've talked about either of them.
No.
But we probably will at some point. Thanks for being pop culture legends.
Thanks for being a friend.
Everywhere you look.
Everywhere you look. Where you go. So yeah.
Yeah. But this week we are actually back talking about something that we don't normally talk about. We talk about Marvel.
We don't really ever talk about it. I think we should talk about it more.
I just thought it would, like, when I read your show notes and I saw that you put Marvel on there, I was like, oh, like, exciting. Like, oh, Marvel list.
Something different, you know?
Like, oh, like, let's, like, ooh and ah. I didn't know we were talking about, like, a specific thing. And then when you, like, told me, like, we're going to talk about, like,
I know.
Comic books, I was so confused.
I know. I just thought we'd talk about something new. Julie's trying not to laugh. Yeah, so we thought we would try to talk about something that, you know, we just don't really know that much about.
No. We don't speak on it too often. I don't like to speak on things I don't know.
And other people. We don't really talk about it at length enough, I don't think.
No. Honestly, I think we could talk about it more.
Right.
Maybe we could dedicate an entire podcast to it.
You know, I think you're onto something.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What are we talking about, TJ?
So... let's rewind a little bit for those. So for those that didn't listen to last week's Spider-Man No Way Home podcast, we had planned on watching the season or series finale of Hawkeye the day it came out, which was
December 15th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yes, but I unfortunately got COVID the day before we were supposed to hang out. And then Celine got COVID. I got better. Celine got COVID.
Yep.
So then we had to put it off another week. So, reason why this episode is so late, because we've been sick.
Yes.
And last week we talked for almost an hour and a half on Spider-Man.
Because we hadn't talked almost, I mean, we talk every day, but we hadn't talked about something at length.
Yeah.
In a month.
So we were excited. We were really excited to talk about Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm really excited to talk about Hawkeye Episode 6, yep. This season, or series, finale.
Yep. That was disgusting that we both said that
scene. We have good timing.
We do.
We really do.
We do.
So... it's been a while since I've seen it. However, I enjoyed the finale.
I am looking up the season finale to remember what happened. I did enjoy it. I watched it with Mason.
Yep. Wasn't the same watching without you, though.
No, it's weird. Because nobody wants to... talk like we do.
No, so Celine watched it with Mason. I watched it with my sister and my mom. And like I'd look at them like excited and like they don't give me anything. And so like I kept wanting to look over and like be like, you know,
that's what we do during the show and movies. We'll be like
yeah, be like, "Oh my god, like Celine, what?" And so it just wasn't it was fine to watch it by my or without her here, there, but it was weird.
Yeah, because we're not normal and we want to talk about things at like a disgusting rate.
We want to talk about them as they happen.
Yeah, until we're blue in the face, really.
We'll literally pause it sometimes and talk about it.
Which I have been told is annoying when I set, I think we've said it in our podcast before, that we will pause. One of my friends messaged me and they're like, that's like actually annoying when people do that. I'm like, yeah, but do you want us to talk over the show?
Right. So then you can't hear what's going on.
Celine does the exact same thing we do. She will pause it and be like, what did you think of that moment right there? And I'm like, thank you.
Yes. So Celine shared something today on Facebook and I don't have it up, but it was something about, hold on, she's going to find it here and we're going to pull it up.
Okay. One thing I will never understand is how normal people are unaffected by movies or books. I mean, when they watch a movie or book and finish, they'll say, well, that was a good movie or book, and they will move on while I have an existential crisis and question the whole universe.
So, like, that's kind of like mainly how like me and Celine became friends, because we both love Marvel, but also because we both generally just enjoy movies and television.
And like
talking about them. Right, like talking about them in depth, where you're like, oh my God, like what do you think that meant? Like we said about Little Celine, what do you think that meant? You know, yeah. Where most people just watch it and they're like, that's good. We watch them because we thoroughly enjoy the puzzle and putting the pieces together.
We pick it apart like a flower child.
Yes. And I always thought that was really weird that nobody else did it like I do.
Yeah.
And that most people just watched it and were like, okay, you know, cool. Where, no, I want to talk about it afterward. 100%. I want to talk about how you felt when this person came on screen or this person did that action.
That's also what I love about yours and our relationship, is we both get like goosebumps and emotional at like the same things. So when we right. talk about it, I don't feel dumb, because people make you feel dumb when you're like, that gave me goosebumps and I like felt so emotional.
Right.
And they're like, why?
Like when you get goosebumps, it's a moment.
Yeah.
That the reason why you're getting goosebumps is because something's happening. You know? I remember, for those who haven't seen Endgame, like you've had time, Tony dies. I remember I told my one friend from my previous job that I said, I bawled like a baby. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell people, I'm not, you know, like, mm-hmm. I literally cried my eyes out when Tony died. No, I'm not a crier.
No.
So, and my one friend was like, why? And I was like, okay, first of all, I'm sensing judgment. And who cares if I did or not? Like, doesn't affect you, you know?
People can cry, man.
Yeah, like, I got emotional over it. It meant something to me.
Eat me, darling.
Right. Mention it all.
Go to sleep.
Anyways.
That's a different part of our lives.
Housewives. Bethany Frankel, we love you. So anyway, my point is that we love movies and we love those moments that give us both goosebumps, where we're like, oh my God, like, look, like, did you get them too? Yep. You know? And I think that's rare, where you can find someone who enjoys it as much as we do, you know?
And wants to talk about it as much as, 'cause I feel like people enjoy things, but they just don't want to talk about it.
No.
And we just like to pick it apart. Maybe to a degree that most people aren't comfortable with. I'll be fair and say that, like, we talk a lot about stuff, but
even when we pick it apart, we're not picking it apart in a bad way.
No, just talking about it at length.
Right. Like, we want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because we enjoyed it so much.
Like, just last night, we watched a movie, which we'll talk about next.
Yeah.
And we sat in the car. So we drove together. We talked about it on the way there, what we thought was going to happen. And on the way back, we talked about, like, what we thought about it. And then we sat in my driveway for, like, probably 15 minutes talking about it more.
Yeah.
And probably, we could have probably talked about it longer had it, like, been a podcast.
And not colder than a witch's titty outside.
Yeah. It's colder.
Not as cold as today, but for those listening, it's currently -1 here. Beautiful weather, balmy.
Hate me life.
Anyways, so we watched Hawkeye episode 6. I will say, although I enjoyed episode 6, Marvel's formula so far is episode 5 is kind of
the climax
of the show. That's kind of like their
the orgasm.
Yeah, they're followed formula. And then episode 6 is like dealing with the aftermath.
Except for WandaVision.
Yes. That one was also a longer show.
That's true.
But
the longest show.
Yeah. The longest show with the shorter episodes.
Yes.
So yeah, it was I'm not saying it wasn't good, because it was. It was really good. Yeah, I don't know. I will say I love Yelena Belova. I loved her on this. Her and Kate Bishop together are comedy gold.
So good. They're so funny.
Their fight. Well, first of all, okay. Florence Pugh's comedic timing. Honestly, she may be one of my new, other than being my new favorite new Marvel character, she's just one of my new favorite actresses.
I love her.
I love her, like, deep, husky voice. And
she's so beautiful, too.
So pretty.
Did you see she cut her hair?
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Yeah, she cut her hair for a movie.
Yep.
I actually follow her on Instagram, and she said she was having a lot of boy band moments.
I love her in that.
Because her hair was, like, all flippy, yeah. And so I enjoyed that. But
she's stunning no matter what. She's, like, one of those faces that can pull off.
Yeah. That. Yeah. She is so funny, and honestly, I could watch a show with just her. I hope that she gets her own movie.
I think she will, because she's been very well received very quickly.
Yes.
So, I'm looking at the show notes for
this
episode.
Also, can't remember her name, Kate Bishop, Haley Steinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Another one who very quickly became one of my favorites.
I love her.
I love her. So funny. And
so likable.
So likable.
Oh my gosh.
You know, where I'm trying to think of someone that I didn't love off the bat. Like Terrence Howard as Rhodey. Didn't love him. You know? Or Edward Norton as Bruce Banner. Really didn't love him. Couldn't see him as a character. Glad they recast him. But I just have fallen in love with these characters right off the bat.
I have too. It's such a weird,
you know,
transition, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you thought after Endgame you wouldn't love these characters as much.
No.
But like, I'm starting to fall back in love with them.
So Kevin Feige said Phase 4 is about new beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
Which I get. You know, we've lost, well, we haven't technically lost Cap. We've lost Cap, we've lost Iron Man. Thor is luckily still going to be around for
Chris Hemsworth said he'll do it till
a while, like, I hope.
Too old.
Right, like, why wouldn't you? It's a guaranteed paycheck.
That's what's his face did? Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
He was like, until I'm too old. And now he's like saying he'll come back.
I would love it if he did.
He's like, I would come back.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I do think that so far it's been about retaining the characters you know.
Do you want another blanket? Are you cold?
No, I'm comfortable now. My feet were just freezing. But that wasn't because it's just because it's cold out.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, Marvel, you know, they're retaining the characters that we love, but also very gently and seamlessly interweaving new characters into an already beautiful story. Ongoing story,
yep.
You know? So it's exciting.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Should we go through
some of our favorite parts?
Yeah. So we mentioned this last episode of the last Hawkeye episode. We do get Wilson Fisk, Vincent D'Onofrio's Wilson Fisk back in like a slight, like a video tidbit, like CCTV footage.
Yeah.
We get him actually in the beginning of this episode, which was... And we get comic book accurate Wilson Fisk.
Yeah. I think that was actually his idea, was the Hawaiian shirt.
Yep.
So.
Yep. So, and the cane. Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Yep.
Have the cane back. So it was cool. And we do finally get confirmation that Eleanor is sort of a bad guy. She's been working with the bad guys.
Yeah. So our theory was that she was Madame Mask.
Yeah.
Which... I'm not gonna lie, I was a little disappointed that that didn't really pan out.
She could still be.
She could still be. Yeah, they haven't said no, but I do feel like her storyline kind of fizzled a little bit. Mm-hmm. Kind of had an anticlimactic ending.
I agree.
So that was one little thing I was disappointed with, was that for an actress of her caliber, that they didn't do something bigger with her ending.
They didn't use her as much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, we got to find that out. Just some fun, like, little moments that were cute was, if you guys remember in episode 4, Kate said to Clint, like, we're partners, you have to tell me if we're gonna be partners. And then finally in episode 6, in that episode, in episode 4, he goes, you're not my partner, do you understand that? You never were. Which was a heartbreaking moment for Kate.
Yeah.
And for all of us. We're all like, what the fuck, Clint?
Well, he's been working with her. It's like, well, then, what is she?
Yeah. And in episode 6, he says, Kate, you're my partner. So that was kind of a sweet moment.
Yeah. It was a sweet moment. And we also got some very comic book accurate costumes for both characters.
Yep.
So, for those that don't know, Hawkeye's very original outfit is awful. And they even mention it in, I think, like, episode 3. Kate mentions how he needs better branding.
Yep.
And she draws the original Hawkeye outfit.
Yep.
And he goes, I'm not wearing that.
Because it is pretty fugly.
Oh, my God. It's so...
Yeah.
It's like a Robin Hood type awful outfit.
It's just, like, too much.
It's just... Yeah. If they did it, he'd be very fabulous. If you catch him adrift. So luckily in the more modern comics, they give him a much toned down costume.
Yeah.
A very simple black costume with a purple arrow.
Yep.
Or looks like an arrow.
Yeah.
And
like that thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so in this final episode, they give him a good comic book accurate costume.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. So.
Yeah. I forgot about that they gave him the costumes.
Yeah.
See, we weren't together. One of my favorite parts of this episode has literally nothing to do with, like, the plot point of this episode at all.
Yeah.
It is the fact that Kate went and labeled every single trick arrow. With the labeling machine.
Well, because that was a joke, I think, like, the first or second episode.
She's like, how am I supposed to know what's what?
Right, she's like, how do you know? How am I supposed to know which arrow's what?
So she used a label maker. By the way, an old school, like push-down label maker.
Yeah, not like the new ones where it
types it out.
Like, it's like, it heats up the paper.
Yeah. No, this is like you're turning the knob.
Like, you gotta push it so that it imprints on the label.
Yep. So... That was very funny, and they, like, literally, I have it pulled up. They say, like, flash bomb, icebreaker, freeze, airbag. Yeah.
I think someone counted they used, like, 17 or 18 different type of arrows throughout the course of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm like, because he does, like, that's why he's one of my favorite characters. He literally has an arrow for everything.
Everything.
Like,
everything.
It seems like he's kind of lame, but, like, he's not. He's tough.
He's also, people don't understand that it's not his, like, bow and arrow that makes him the superhero. It's his incredible aim for anything.
Yes. Incredible aim for everything, and the fact that he knows what each arrow does without having to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
yeah,
it's weird. Anyways, go ahead.
They did not, I just want to tell you guys, they did not use a boomerang arrow. They did, however, give a nod to it. When they pile out all the trick arrows, there is one that, if you look close enough, does look like the boomerang arrow in the comic books. They don't use it, though. But it is a nod.
I think they'll use it at some point.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Because in the comic book and in my Avengers game, he uses it. It's a pretty cool arrow.
And then there's this quote from Kate. Yeah, well, if all trick arrows were boomerangs, then we'd have them all.
Yeah, exactly. Boom, bitch. Excuse me.
Sorry. I love the scene from Hawkeye episode 1 when Kate was like, Gary fired her. You see, that's the problem, Gary. You don't even know my name. You know? This is not gonna work out.
It's not gonna work out.
And then in this episode she points out and she goes, threats? That guy, that's Gary. He fired me for the one and only job I've ever had.
And she didn't even have.
It's one of my favorite moments. Uh-huh. I forgot about that.
That moment. So it was actually that moment in the very first episode where she goes, see, that's the problem, Gary. You don't even know my name. I can't do this anymore. That's when I fell in love with her. I'm like, oh my God. Like, it's funny because I could see you doing that. Like that's the problem.
That's the problem. Yeah. You don't know my name, I quit.
Like, just on you, thinking on your feet so quick to pull that off. Like, I would never think of that. Where I could totally see you pulling that off.
We're Kate and I are natural born liars. And Yelena. Mm-hmm. That's probably not a thing I should tell everyone, but yes, I am a good liar. Try me.
Yeah.
Try me,
ho.
come through, bitches. Come through.
Exactly.
It's on site. Mm-hmm. Just kidding, I don't fight. So, we get Yelena again. So what I'm loving is Yelena not in a costume. I love that she's in regular clothing.
Yeah.
And she's got her hair done. She still always has a braid. I think that's in honor of...
Yeah.
There's somewhere, there's always a braid.
Always a braid.
Like, even if it's just one strand or whatever, there's, like, always a braid. I know that's an ode to Natasha and the mom, because they all
Melina. Yeah.
They all wore braids the whole movie.
Braids were a big thing in Black Widow. And I loved it. I thought it was so pretty.
I loved this braid a lot. This braid was probably one of, like, and I'm not kidding you, I'm going to recreate that braid.
I saw that braid, I was like, how?
No, I can do that.
I mean, I don't have long hair, so I'm like, how would you even be able to do that?
I'm going to use my wig upstairs to do this.
That's cheating, because then you can look at it.
I'll put it on my head.
Okay.
I'll put it on my head.
Okay.
I could do it with my hair, I just have bangs, so it wouldn't, like, stay in.
Yeah.
But, like,
That was a statement braid.
So Florence Pugh talked about that braid, and she was like, because people were like, oh my God, your hair, and she's like, that's not all my hair, that's not all my hair. So do you know how much hair is in that?
I mean, she does have some long, thick hair.
She does, but like, she said that in an interview, to get those like braids to be that fluffy, there are a lot of pieces in there.
Yeah.
Because like, you can't tug on your own hair here without like fucking up that braid. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, it
has
to like weave in and out.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm going to do that braid with a wig.
Do it.
That's also... Oh. Don't know if you knew this, but...
I know everything. I'm just kidding.
Mention it all! If you need to know it all, I know it all.
She really does.
So...
And so do I.
If you need to know it all, we know it all.
Maybe we do know it all.
So if you need to know any of it all...
Any of the all.
Come to us.
Yeah.
Sorry. Housewives.
Again, Bethany Frankel.
Yelena calls Kate Sika.
Which is bitch in Russian, right?
Fun fact. I hope my family doesn't listen to this. Sik in Turkish means fuck.
Oh, really?
Siktir means like fuck off.
What is it?
Siktir.
Oh, really?
Or like siktir git, that means like fuck right off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when she said sika, I was like, that's a swear word. I wonder if it's the same swear word. So I had to look it up. It means bitch.
That's funny. I mean, not that they're not the same word, but they both
mean something bad.
They sound similar, and they both mean a swear word. Because in Black Widow, she calls Natasha that.
Yep.
When they go to, I think, get on the bike.
Because
Natasha steals the keys and she says that. So, that's one. I didn't catch that this episode.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
So, it was on the elevator when Kate, like, kicks her or something like that.
Oh, my God. The elevator. The elevator scene was probably one of the funniest moments on the whole show. Not just because of the fact that Yelena farted. Which kills me, but the fact that Kate kept trying to push the buttons and she slapped her hand away, and then she did push all the buttons and she's like, come on, and then she slaps her and she was like, what was that?
caused like physical harm, and she's so offended by like somebody hurting her. She's like,
I can hurt you. You can't hurt me.
No. She's like, this is some culty shit. Like, I get to hurt you.
Right.
This is not a two-way street.
No.
No.
No, not two-way Kate street, Bishop. Natasha.
Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
I love that she did it again, and she kept calling her Kate Bishop.
I think that's going to be a consistent thing with her.
She'll keep calling her Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Kate Bishop.
Kate Bishop. Oh, so sweet.
Yes. Anyways.
Are you just saying my name to let me know that you know who I am? Yes.
Yes.
Da.
Yep. Da. What else you got?
Oh. There's that whole fight scene with Kate and Yelena.
Which was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I just wanna do a feminist throw in right here. Women fight scenes are just like the best.
Mm-hmm.
Not because like women fight better or here and that. Women are just like convey anger so much better.
So much better. Like in this fight scene, like, it really felt like they were really trying to kill each other.
And, like, they were both itching to win.
Yes.
And, but it still had, like, anecdotes of funniness.
Oh, yeah.
Where one would do something and the other would be like, what was that?
Yeah.
And it was
come
like,
on!
It just felt like two sisters fighting, which is kind of awkward because they were both fully trying to kill each other at that point.
Yeah.
I do want to bring something up that I texted TJ about when I was like, how the fuck do they all know how to fight? Like, Kate Bishop has led a very privileged life. I know she probably took, like, taekwondo classes.
I think she grew up taking classes.
But still, Natasha and Yelena are widows. She should not be able to keep up with the widows.
That's true. Because, so...
Which means...
Go ahead.
I'm so sorry.
I was going to say, I think if Yelena really wanted to kill her...
I knew I was
going to
say the same thing.
I mean, she could have easily. I think she liked the fight.
So, you took... That's exactly what I was about to interrupt you with.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm glad I let you finish. Because I was literally going to be like, I think Yelena wasn't, like, pushing it.
She wasn't giving her all. Because she's a freaking trained assassin.
They have a name. Black Widow Assassins.
Yes. If she really wanted to. If she really wanted to hurt her. She could have taken her out, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was, I would say, maybe giving 25% to that fight.
So, I did enjoy that entire fight scene. It was just like...
I do think them fighting was a warning to Kate. Like, this is what I can do, and I'm not even giving you my all right now. You know?
I just don't think Kate takes it like that.
No. No.
She's very bullheaded. That's why
yes.
I think, like, it's very... They mesh together so well because one is very
so
calculated
well.
But funny, and the other one's not calculated at all, but hilarious as well.
Right.
They're both just like... Kate's like, I can fight too.
Yeah, one is think first, act later, which
mm-hmm.
is Yelena.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate is act now, think later.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Which
and
we all need that balance.
Yeah. It was
who
a great fight scene,
who
though.
Am I?
What?
Who are you and who am I? Who's the think first? Who's the act first?
I feel like you'd probably be more like Yelena. I'd probably be more like Kate. In the moment, I'd probably be like, let's just do it. You know?
Let's fuck him up. And I'd be like,
you gotta kill him!
When Kate slides down the building, what does she do at the very end there, TJ?
Oh my god. So, she did this in Black Widow too, where she likes to run down buildings.
Yes.
Which is a very cool, like, thing. Probably wouldn't really be necessary, because, like, gravity kind of does its work.
Yeah.
But still very cool.
Yeah.
Because she did it in Black Widow too,
yep.
where she ran down the building. But, in this movie, she runs down the building, jumps, and is a poser.
Does the pose.
Such a poser.
You're such a poser. disgusting.
Felt disgusting.
What is that pose?
Yeah. This is a much less cool way to die.
This is much less cool.
She did the Black Widow pose.
So many pockets. Yeah, sorry.
I knew you'd love it. It has so many pockets.
I knew it.
Which, by the way, people were shocked that she's not Russian.
I felt like she did. So, I'm not Russian. I don't know how to speak
my
a Russian accent.
My aunt is Ukrainian, which okay. is Russian adjacent.
Yes.
They'll argue that they're not, but like...
Right.
She,
they're part of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, yeah. So, Ukrainians sound very Russian. Same with, like, Belarusians. They all sound like... They all have very similar accents. She even said that Yelena's accent was pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, like, I felt like it was convincing. So, like... I don't know the dialect well enough to know if it wasn't, but because like there's some accents where you're like, oh my god, that's atrocious.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves and Dracula.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. But I felt like she was very convincing, and I felt like she spoke it very well.
I agree.
You know.
I agree.
So. Yeah.
This is just a little nod. The tiny owl in the tree is a nod to the owl he rescued.
When?
In 2020.
That he rescued?
When Clint falls into the Rockefeller Christmas tree, he comes face to face with an owl. In 2020, I'm sorry, not him. In 2020, a tiny owl was rescued from inside the tree after he made his way to NYC and was hiding in the branches.
Who was?
Clint.
But it was a nod to what? Like a different MCU moment?
Yeah.
What movie was it in?
I don't know. They didn't really explain that. The
owl
was cute, though.
It was very cute. So, the owl in the Rockefeller tree was something that actually happened.
Okay,
last year.
That's what
maybe that's what you're talking
yeah.
about. I was confused. I thought you were talking about a different MCU moment. I'm like...
I thought that's what they were saying?
No. So, I looked it up. Last... Not 2021, 2020 Christmas, I believe, in the famous Rockefeller Christmas tree, there was a tiny baby owl that got caught. And I don't know what happened. I think they saved it and released it. But that was supposed to be like a...
Nod to that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what that is.
So, yeah. Sorry, I thought you were talking about a different MCU moment. I'm like, well, what moment, though? I'm like, I'm confused.
No, I was confusing myself. I didn't know
that's okay.
what I was talking about. That's when Kate and Clint start fighting the tracksuit mafia, and we get Clint's reveal of his suit.
His suit. You know, so it's funny. I remember when they were filming Hawkeye. They filmed it over Christmas 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, yeah. Or 2 years ago, no.
Yes.
Almost 2 years ago. Anyways, doesn't matter. Christmas 2020. And someone had uploaded like a selfie of themselves with Jeremy Renner in his Hawkeye costume. And I remember it was a big deal because, like, you know how Marvel is, they're very secretive.
Yeah.
And like it spread like wildfire. And they were like, yep, that's his new suit. And you know, I think it was supposed to be kind of a big reveal.
Mm-hmm.
But.
It was still a pretty big reveal.
It was cool. Like, I thought... I heard a lot of people... Well, not a lot. I heard really mixed feelings about the costume.
Really?
Some people said it looked great. Some people thought it looked cheap. I thought it looked great, though.
I thought it looked really nice.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was nice. It was a nice, simple costume.
I agree.
You know?
I don't like when they take it too far.
No. But, yeah, I remember that. It was a big deal that someone had uploaded their picture and, like, they were trying to contain it and, like... Once it's up there, it's never,
it's a cloud.
Yep.
I just saw this. They use a shrinking pin.
Uh-huh.
And they shrink the truck of tracksuit mafia people in.
The Trust-a-bro truck.
Yeah, Trust-a-bro. And Kate goes, what happens to them now? And Kate goes, I don't know, I'll have to ask Scott about that one.
So,
which leads me to believing that we're gonna have a Cassie Lang, Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
Because Cassie Lang eventually becomes Stinger, Stature, Ant-Girl, whichever one they'll make her. Which is a part of the Young Avengers, which they have thus far set up.
Yeah, little hints.
Makes me, the characters they are introducing are very much like, makes me think that that is the the direction that they're going in.
Yeah.
Is the Young Avengers. So we've got Kate Bishop. We have Elijah. Although briefly introduced Elijah. Isaiah. This is Dick's dad, right? Grandpa?
Yeah.
Isn't Isaiah's the son and Elijah's the grandpa?
I think flipped.
Isaiah's the son.
I think so.
Okay. We have Isaiah. Yeah, I think you're right. That sounds right.
I think so.
Then we have the Wiccan and his less powerful brother.
Speedster?
Speedster?
I think it's Speedster.
Silversmith?
Red
Rocket?
That's
wrong. anyway, the twins. We have the twins, which we've been introduced to them as little chitlins, mm-hmm. but, you know, time... age and the blip, you know, whatever.
Yep.
So we have four, and then we're going to be introduced to Ms. Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Only one they haven't announced yet, and they may not, is the Hulkling, who is actually the boyfriend of Wiccan. In the comic book, at least.
I feel like, oh no, they announced She-Hulk. Sorry, I had to think. I was like, they announced a Hulk something.
Yeah.
We also have She-Hulk coming.
I don't know where she fits in, because she might be part of the new Avengers.
So I think thematically, they're setting up like another like Endgame scenario with big groups and big chunks of people.
Yeah.
But I think on a bigger, grander scale.
Yeah.
Right? So they'll have like the Young Avengers, and they'll have the, what's U.S. Agent, Yelena, and Red Hulk. What are they
the Thunderbolts?
Called? The Thunderbolts. Like, they're setting that up,
or the
too.
Dark Avengers, yeah.
So they've essentially started setting up these, like, groups of people little by little. My theory is that Kevin Feige is setting up these little groups of people because he now has to match or better what he just did with Endgame. That means he has to have new groups of people.
Yeah.
So he has a new army. So the Thunderbolts, the Young Avengers, and the New Avengers.
There's also the West Coast. She-Hulk can be part of the West Coast Avengers. They're different than the regular Avengers. I think Hawkeye leads them. So.
We don't know.
Yeah. I don't know who's a part of that group, but.
We also have Thor, who's.
Off-world somewhere.
Thor is just like, Thor is completely like my guy, because he's just like, yeah, I'm just chilling.
I love that he is like, at one point, the most serious character, and now he's like the butt of every joke.
Makes himself the butt of the joke.
Right. Like not purposely making himself the joke. He just
is.
And it's so funny because it works for his character.
He's also a very funny guy, I think.
Oh, yes.
So I think it just worked out.
Yeah.
So,
but yes, very exciting things that could be coming that I think are coming.
Yes, I agree. One of my favorite scenes, sorry, I had to scroll through to find this one. When Clint shoots an arrow at Kazi, he ends up splitting the arrow, which Kate had previously called bullshit on, saying like he couldn't do it.
Oh,
finally
yeah.
Proving he could do it, which I was like, because I don't think we've ever seen Clint split an arrow before.
No, and I think he did it while it was in the air.
Yes.
Which, like...
is unheard of.
Right. So, like, if you are doing like target practice,
mm-hmm.
and you split an arrow, it's called a Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people can actually do it midair. I don't know how that would work, but anyways, it was a very cool moment.
It was very cool.
Yes.
I agree. I thought it was really cool to see it happen. Kate also uses Clint's coin trick to look.
Yes. Yeah, so, and I think probably one of the most festive and Christmassy episodes of the whole show, which was, I feel like, the most fun episode,
because
mm-hmm. they kind of kicked back a little bit, didn't take themselves so seriously,
yeah.
and just tried to have fun, which was kind of nice. He teaches her this coin trick,
yep.
and he's able to get it perfect every
yes.
time because he's
Hawkeye.
Yeah, he's a perfect human who can perfect aim.
He's literally a hawk.
Yeah.
With an eye.
So, yeah, literally two of them. So he was like teaching her this trick of like using like a bottle cap and like flicking it. I've seen people do it.
The trick. Yeah. Can do like the actual
yeah,
action.
Like you, I don't know, you flick it or something. It. I can't either. And you're like, okay, well, like, what does this have anything to do with the show?
No.
And you find out in the final episode that there's a reason why he taught her. Well, he didn't teach her for this reason, but there, it comes into play that there's a reason why he taught her this and that she uses it to her advantage.
Mm-hmm.
In the final scene. In the final fight with her and Kingpin.
Yep.
Her being Kate. And
which was a very good fight, actually.
Yeah. I will say that the Kingpin, I don't feel like was as intimidating as he was in Daredevil.
Yeah.
I call him the Disney version of Kingpin. You know? Because the Kingpin in the Daredevil show was nuts.
I also don't think he actually died in this.
No. So that's what I was going to talk about next.
Oh, yeah.
In the final scene, we see a confrontation between Echo,
mm-hmm.
or what's her name?
Maya?
Yes. Maya and Kingpin. And he's basically, he's not pleading for his life, but he's trying to convince her, like,
not to.
Like, I loved you, and, like, we can work this out. And,
yeah. Basically every breakup eulogy ever.
Yeah, and like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Camera pans up and you hear a gunshot.
Yep.
Like, the fuck?
He's Kingpin.
They better not kill him off. They better not have just brought him back just to kill him off.
I don't think they would have. Vincent D'Onofrio has not waited this long to play this role again.
No. So I think in the comic book, because it's pretty accurate page for page what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happens is he becomes blind. Which be kind of a funny
turn of events,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's dead. Do you think he's dead?
No. No, I don't think so. I don't think Vincent D'Onofrio would have agreed to play this role if they planned on killing him off so quickly.
No.
So
I hope not, because like that would suck. I did hear a lot of this show, the season finale or series was the week after Spider-Man No Way Home came out,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a rumor that I didn't really believe. I took it with a grain of salt that Spider-Man was going to make an appearance in this show.
Oh.
Yeah. Because, like, they were
intertwined or
yeah.
whatever.
But I was like, I felt like that one was a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't even hear that one.
Yeah, I was like, I took it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And good thing I did, because he wasn't on it, but...
No.
Do you have anything more?
Yeah. A really sad scene or moment was when... So, I called it. I said Clint and Yelena would get into, like, a knockdown drag-out, which would end with an emotional moment. I just didn't call what the emotional moment would be, so I'm not perfect. I'm close
to
TJ. Same. And I are very close to that like level of perfection that is unattainable and unreachable by most of the human race, but here we are.
We have done it.
Mm-hmm. They probably think we're so
we're totally teasing, by the way. I mean,
I
am.
Am I? So they get into a knockdown drag-out fight, which obviously Clint has time and time again admitted how much better of a fighter Natasha is than him.
Yeah.
Which, this is a good nod to the fact that Yelena is a better fighter than him.
Yes.
And she's winning. She's got a gun to him.
I think even Yelena was a better fighter than Natasha.
I think so too.
But I also think it's because she had more time in the Red Room.
Yeah.
And sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think Yelena is all around just trained harder and heavier than she was. So you're right, I think.
Yeah.
Clint does the whistle.
Yeah.
And it stops Yelena cold, and she obviously, you know, says, how do you know that? and it shows her that, like, Clint wasn't just
some dude
passing by.
Yeah.
Natasha was a big part of his life.
Yeah.
And he was a big part of hers.
Well, and he even says, he said, Yelena, she talked about you all the time. Which is funny because, like, we never, in the movies at least, hear her talk about her.
Yeah.
But that's because I think she's been a fairly new addition.
Yeah. Yeah. What really got me was when I read about that was Yelena probably thought she would never hear somebody else do that whistle ever again.
No, because who else would know it other than maybe Melina.
Yeah.
Her adoptive mother.
Yeah.
Sort of. Kind of terrible parents, but whatever.
They kind of make up for it. Yeah.
Yes, they do. Yeah, she probably never thought she'd hear it again.
Yeah, so it was probably shocking.
And she probably thought Natasha would have never told anyone that.
Yeah.
Because Natasha was so guarded.
Yeah, we're talking about her at all.
Yeah.
I did also love that Clint mentioned a callback to Black Widow of them flying the plane, about how Natasha had to fly a plane when she was a kid once.
Oh, yeah.
That was a pretty good callback, too.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Cool callback to Black Widow. The movie, sorry.
So, I have two last favorites.
Okay.
So, I have to go through and make sure I'm not reading every single
fine.
One,
yeah.
So I'm sorry.
I don't remember. It's been about a month since I saw
yeah.
the episode.
Well, there's like 30 on here, so I'm
yeah.
like, I don't want to read all 30.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite parts is, okay, so, character I thought I would hate that I ended up loving is Jack Duquesne.
Yeah.
He's very charming at the end there. And then the LARPers, the live action role players, they recruit this son of a gun, and they're like, I saw you with your sword earlier. Pretty handy. Have you ever heard of LARPing? And he's like, huh.
Ho ho.
Yeah, literally. his mustache like enters a different dimension because he's like, oh.
His Lumiere mustache.
Fucking love his mustache. He's so funny.
So he is definitely not who you expect him to be. He is basically just as goofy as you expect it to be.
So in the comics, Jacques Duquesne eventually turns evil.
Yeah, so that could be coming.
He doesn't start out evil.
Yeah. So, we don't know.
Also, fun fact, it's who Jacques Duquesne is who trains Clint in the comics.
I did not know that. Interesting.
In the original Hawkeye comics, Jacques Duquesne, a.k.a. the Swordsman, trains and is a mentor to Clint Barton.
I did not know that. I haven't read a lot of the early Avengers, just because the writing is so corny.
Yeah.
I respect it for what it is, but
yeah,
for me,
it's
hard to read. It's hard to take it seriously.
I agree. I totally agree. You probably know my favorite scene, my favorite moment in the show. It's my bread and butter. Okay?
You'll have to remind me.
I will. Right now.
Okay. Go for it.
Clint hands a piece of jewelry back to his wife, Laura
Oh,
Martin.
Yes.
She flips the Rolex watch over, which has the shield insignia and the number 19 on it, giving her the title of Mockingbird.
Yep.
Laura Barton is Agent 19, a.k.a. codename Mockingbird.
Yep. Also, in the comic book, serious love interest for Clint.
Which makes sense, because they're married.
Well, yeah, which makes sense, because they're married. And makes sense, because
he just leaves his kids.
Like, why would he leave his kids and his poor, defenseless wife to fend for themselves while he goes and fights crime? Because this chick ain't poor or defenseless in the slightest.
In fact, she's been likened to the skill levels of Natasha Romanoff.
Yes. She's like a mixture between Clint and Natasha.
Yeah.
Because she fights with two batons. She's actually a very cool character.
Yeah.
She fights with two batons like Natasha, and she has near perfect aim like Clint. So it's kind of like she's a mixture of the two.
It would be very cool if they use Linda Cardellini and, like, give us some Mockingbird moments.
Yeah.
I know she's gotten older, but she's still stunning and beautiful. So.
But if people want it, give them what they want, you know?
Can you believe I called that specific of a hint?
That was So, earlier in the year, not this year, last year, when WandaVision started, and I told Selene this before we started, I said, I can't believe it's been a year since WandaVision. Yeah. Early on with our Marvel theories, we were pretty way off base, but also because we were led that way. You know, we lead with the information we're given.
We just kept going farther and farther.
Still think it's Mephisto. But these last couple theories that we've had, we have been spot on.
On point. It's been weird.
On fleek.
You said that like such a white man. On fleek. The fleekage cometh.
My sister hates when I say that. She goes, nobody says that anymore. I know, that's why I say it.
You should say it like awkwardly. Be like, my titties are on fleek.
All my girls on fleek.
This on fleek.
Mm-hmm. Look at my titties!
Oh no, you got my evil witch cackle out of me.
Some little fat bastard there.
I love him. My fires.
Yep. I'm dead sexy.
You actually do a really good fat bastard. Okay. I used to think, still think, he was disgusting when he'd pull food from underneath his, like, tit.
You want some chicken? I got some more. Anyways.
That is how the episode ends, is them telling us about Agent 19.
Agent 19, we're left to wonder what happened to Mr. Fisk.
Mm-hmm. Can we get an end credit?
Before that, we also do see Kate's mom goes to jail, prison.
Yep.
And she has nowhere to go for Christmas. Clint brings home not one, but two strays. He brings home Kate, and Lucky officially gets his name, Lucky, yeah, Lucky the Pizza Dog.
Lucky the Pizza Dog.
Yep.
Apparently he was very well loved on set.
Well, he's the goodest boy.
He's so cute.
He's just so cute. That dog is beautiful.
So
beautiful
sweet.
Golden Retriever.
So smart, too. Where's my pizza dog?
He's probably sleeping upstairs. Very good season. This wasn't my absolute favorite. I will say my absolute favorite still is WandaVision.
Yeah.
But my favorites were probably WandaVision, Hawkeye, and Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier, take it or leave it. What If was a fun series.
I would do without.
It's fun to watch, but it's take it or leave it.
End all be all.
No, it's not one I was like looking forward to watch every week.
No, I agree.
And then what was the other show?
Loki.
No, I already said Loki.
Did you say Loki?
WandaVision, Hawkeye, Loki, What If. Was there one more?
I feel like there was.
The WandaVision came out first, then Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Then Loki.
Loki came out in June.
No.
What If came out.
Yeah, this would be it.
And oh yeah, so Hawkeye. So that's five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, because, yeah, WandaVision, Hawkeye, Loki, What If, and then Falcon and Winter Soldier for me.
Yes. So. I would say Loki, WandaVision, Hawkeye, What If, Falcon.
Yeah, I agree.
That's not to say I wouldn't watch Falcon. It just was what it was.
Yeah. It didn't really add anything of value for me, and it didn't really take away anything of value.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. So
then Eternals, okay.
Yeah, so fun fact. Eternals just came out to buy on Blu-ray and digital. And I tried watching it with my mom and my sister. Actually, my sister put in her headphones after about 15 minutes. And we were about an hour into the movie. And my mom goes, this movie is terrible. She goes, I don't even care what happens. So I kind of had to give her the gist of what happened and whatever. It's not for everyone.
I mean.
You know?
Yeah. My dad was like, what was the point of that?
So. I honestly would have loved to have seen them push it more.
Yeah.
You know, push the weird factor even more.
I agree.
So,
but
yeah, we got what we got.
Mm-hmm.
we'll see what happens with him. So yeah, Hawkeye ended our marvelous 2021 year of Marvel.
Yes, which really was the most Marvel we've done.
It's so funny because I told this to Celine. I said, we were so spoiled with Marvel really this last year that it felt like you had to wait forever between things.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, we got WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki,
five shows in 1 year.
Black Widow, What If, Shang-Chi,
Eternals,
Spider-Man, and Hawkeye. That's nine Marvel things. Mm-hmm. And it still felt like it was like forever in between each one.
I know, which it was the least amount of time it's ever been between each thing.
Yeah.
It was very good. Yeah. I love that they do the shows. The shows are such a good way to broaden their audience, I think.
Well, and to keep people interested in Marvel from week to week.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned it shortly after the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or before it started, that I said someone figured out we'll have a new Marvel, something new for Marvel almost every week out of the year of 2021, other than maybe like 4 or 5 weeks in between. Isn't that nuts?
That's crazy.
So that means what, like 47 weeks out of the entire year we had something new for Marvel.
We were podcasting like week to week.
Yeah. We hit 63 episodes this year.
Yeah. Season 2.
Yeah. We had a fun, we had fun this last year. We had a fun season.
We had a good season too, guys.
And I'm honestly, I look forward to what 2022 brings.
Hopefully, just more of this.
Yeah.
Just more content. You know, we won't ever overpromise and underdeliver again.
It's like more realistic expectations.
We'll just continue doing what we're doing. And if we need more, you're welcome. And if we don't, you're still welcome. You're still going to get content.
Yep, exactly. Is there anything that you're wanting to do in the upcoming season? Season 3?
Oh, I don't know. I would love to... We've talked about this. I would love to start doing some cartoon movie reviews.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Just like watching some old movies that we haven't watched or have watched.
Yeah.
And reviewing them as adults.
Yeah. Are there some movies that you watch now that you loved as a kid and you watch them now and you're like... Not the Disney movies. Those I still love. But like some of the off the beaten path one, you're like...
Like Thumbelina.
I don't remember that one. But I've seen it. I just don't remember it. But like you watch it now and you're like...
Brave Little Toaster.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, I thought this was the shit back in the day.
I still love Fern Gully.
We actually just watched that a couple weeks ago.
I still love Fern Gully.
So funny. Such a good movie. It has such a good message in it.
I love that that came out around the same time as Aladdin, and yeah. Robin Williams played both the voice of, what's his name? Batty.
Batty, yeah.
And Genie.
Yep. Agreed.
What about you?
So, at some point this year, I can't remember when we did it, we did like a get to know you type segment.
Yeah.
I would like to do something similar again. Not like a inside the actor studio,
yeah.
But like a get to know each other on maybe a deeper level.
I have a game called We Were Never Strangers. We could play that on air.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd be fun just to like do something just different.
That'd be fun to do.
Yeah, I agree.
We could actually just both, like it doesn't have to be two separate podcasts. We can both answer the question.
Yeah. So I'd like to do that at some point again. So I feel like that was kind of fun.
That was really fun.
You know, I don't know how many people listen to that those episodes, but
I got a lot of feedback randomly.
Yeah, actually, I'm on the website now. Let me look. Honestly, again, looking forward to talking about stuff we don't normally talk about, like Marvel.
Mm-hmm. You don't talk about it at all.
No, and
we don't talk about Bruno.
No. September. It was end of September that we did those.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fun season, though. And I'm looking forward to the upcoming year.
Me too. I think we'll do more. We enjoy it.
We do. And we enjoy our little fan base.
Yeah, we do. It's kind of cool that there's a select few of you, which if you would just tell us who you are, we'd probably, like, make you a guest star. We just want to know who's listening.
Or at least, like,
say thank you.
Thank you, like, in the podcast,
like,
or something.
Shout you out and give you one of the sweatshirts I made.
Totally. We do have, it's not available yet.
Yes.
But me and Celine for Christmas got me a really cool, I was actually going to wear it tonight and I forgot. Oh, I didn't wear it because it was all full of dog hair.
Mine's dirty upstairs.
But she got me a shirt that says TJ and Celine.
N-O-T-N-T.
Yep.
I only remember because TNT is bombs.
Yep. Exactly. So, we'd a bomb. So very cool. It'd be cool to, I don't know how we do it, but like.
Eventually, if we get enough time and people, we'll get merch out there.
Yep. So, yeah.
Well, I probably won't ever like buy it from Zazzle or like createyourmerch.com. I'll probably just ask one Lisa Holcomb to help us with that scenario.
Yeah, my mother can do it, so.
Yeah.
She's good with that shit. Okay, any final thoughts for this episode?
For this season.
This season?
No. I think we got it all.
I think we got it all, too. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, to a great, great season. We're going to be back for season 3. Hard to believe it's been almost 3 years. Or not 3 years, but almost 4 years, but three seasons.
Because
stupid COVID ruined the season.
We did extend season 2 could probably have just been 2 and 3, but we just were like, let's go the whole year.
Totally. 100%. And it covers movies that were in this year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And shows. So.
I think that's what we'll do. We'll do season 5 a year. Just to cover like that calendar year. So like 2021. Now season 3 is 2022.
Exactly. All right. Well, if that's all we got, TJ and Celine.
Oh.
Out.
You are
my fire. Desire. When I say I want it that way, tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
Tell me why.
Ain't. I'm so glad you caught on to this.
Yeah. We switched it up this time. Instead of bye bye bye, we
bye,
did
bye
bye bye.
The
you. You get 2 songs from us. No, you get 4 songs. You got Thank You for Being a Friend, the Full House theme song.
Yes.
I want it that way. Bye bye bye.
And also, they got little tidbits of We Don't Talk About Bruno.
And yes, and the We Don't Talk About Bruno. No, no, no.
No, no.
Nope.
Bye, all right.
That's all we got.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.